Hey guys, Jason Agnew here. Welcome to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Appreciate you downloading the show. Now, this is normally where I'd mention the Patreon, but since you're a loyal listener, you already know about our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio. There's a lot of good stuff there, so you can sign up if you like. It's only a dollar a week. Along with that, though, I know you're enjoying the free version of the show, and that's cool. Really appreciate it. There's lots of good stuff to come on today's show, but I would just ask you one itsy-bitsy favor for this free content, and that is rate it. If you could just give the show a rating in your podcatcher on iTunes, it helps the show grow and other people know about it. So it'd be super cool. I'll now do my impression of the weird Uber driver that you once had as you're getting out, where they just kind of go, 5 stars? Sure, that'd be great. So rate the show, and more importantly, enjoy the show. Here we go.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Daniel Bryan is banished from SmackDown. We're 3 days away from AEW's Blood and Guts. And the longest running feud in wrestling radio history returns right here tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, Canada's wrestling radio program coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and to be frank, this week, we've got too much content to fit into just 1 hour, so let me tell you about it. We're going to kick things off with the week in wrestling news, and then I'll welcome on Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about Daniel Bryan's loss to Roman Reigns, the reemergence of Andrade, and Diego Sanchez parting ways, very strangely, with UFC. Then we welcome one of our favorite guests here on Sunday Night's Main Event, a man that we've known since he was the Lionheart in WCW, appearing on our shows numerous times over the years and developing quite the rockin' wrestling rapport with my co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Yes, it is AEW's former Le Champion, Chris Jericho, joining us later tonight on the program to talk about the upcoming Blood and Guts matchup and everything in the ring and behind the scenes in AEW. It is a fantastic interview and well worth waiting for. Now, we're going to have a portion of it on the show here tonight. And remember, all of our interviews in their full, uncut, unedited form are available to our patron members, so go sign up now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. That's patreon.com/SNMEradio. So with all that in mind, let's kick things off for this show with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, as I mentioned in the intro right there, Andrade has made his reappearance onto the scene in a big way. Not wrestling, but cutting promos and setting up potential matches. Last night, he appeared in a video at AAA's Rey de Reyes event and challenged Kenny Omega for the AAA Mega title at Triple Mania. Earlier this week, Federation Wrestling announced Andrade for the debut pay-per-view event on June 19th. Now, this was done during a press conference where Andrade will join ROH talent Rush, Bestia del Ring, and a surprise partner against Matt Taven, PJ Black, and two of their own surprise partners. Now, in addition to ROH talent, AEW stars Penta and Phoenix will take on Bandido and Dragon Lee. Red Velvet and Ty Conti will be on the show, competing in a 6-women's trios match with a mystery partner against Miranda Aliz, Zexius, and Ayuko Hamada. So that seems like a good move for Andrade, or at least an interesting one, pairing with this new promotion that is also filled with ROH and AEW talent. But in other Andrade news, we have a never-say-never type of news story here. Andrade confirmed on Instagram earlier this week that he would be facing Alberto El Patron in July for Narcian Lucha Libre in McAllen, Texas. Now, Patron has also said in an interview with Super Luchas on April 27th that a match between the two would happen on July 31st. Now, let's keep in mind here that Alberto El Patron is currently scheduled to stand trial on charges of aggravated kidnapping and sexual assault following an incident in May of 2020. He has not wrestled for any major wrestling promotion since that time. And I'm surprised. No, you know what? It's wrestling. I guess I'm not surprised that any promotion would book him. I am, however, surprised Andrade, coming off his WWE run, would take this match, considering the other match that he's lined up for is Kenny Omega, which is amazing, and this one, to me, seems extremely questionable. Now, for those of you that heard of Kenny Omega's Impact title win last Sunday, you wouldn't know it if you watched Dynamite. However, this week on Impact, they did a follow-up and put a main event in place for their May 15th Under Siege event on Impact Plus, and it will be Omega and the Good Brothers taking on tag team champions Finjuice with Eddie Edwards. Speaking of cross-promotions, which everything is cross-promotional these days, New Japan's Yuji Nagata will appear on AEW Dynamite to challenge Jon Moxley for the IWGP United States title. This match will take place on May 12th. Along with that, New Japan has announced that Moxley and Chris Dickinson will team up against Yuji Nagata and Ren Narita on the Friday, May 7th episode of New Japan Strong. AEW Dynamite will experience some schedule changes due to the upcoming NBA playoffs on TNT. The Wednesday, May 26th show is going to move to Friday, May 28th at 10 p.m. Eastern, with a plan of filming 2 hours of Dark for the following week starting at 8 p.m. before going live. That week's Dynamite will be the go-home show for Double or Nothing that is taking place on the Sunday. So what's going to happen for us here at Sunday Night's Main Event is our podcast, All Elite Weekly, will, of course, bump later in the week to follow that edition of Dynamite. Then on Sunday, we'll give you guys the regular syndicated show to preview the pay-per-view. And then for all of our patrons, we'll have an after party for that particular AEW pay-per-view because it is taking place on a Sunday night. So all of you can join us, get interactive, and give us your immediate feedback with our Zoom after party. Sign up for those at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And okay, couple notes from the world of MMA here. The man Daniel Bryan owes his yes chant to, Diego Sanchez, has been released from UFC, albeit in a rather odd way. Sanchez was released on Tuesday, and his May 8th fight against fellow veteran Donald Cowboy Cerrone was canceled. The news broke Thursday as Yahoo's Kevin Ioli first reported on the situation behind the scenes. Dana White told Ioli that Sanchez's manager and trainer, Joshua Fabia, is blank nuts. Can't say the word on the radio. And cited several incidents, including Fabia telling UFC production and commentators how to call his fights, and that he told the Nevada State Athletic Commission rep he taught Sanchez techniques that could kill or paralyze Michael Chiesa ahead of their July 2019 fight. Very strange. I'll talk to Dave Meltzer about this in the next segment, about all these circumstances and how strange they actually are. And we'll also touch on this, Floyd Mayweather stepping back into the ring in an exhibition match versus Logan Paul. Yep, it was announced for June 6th at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. The event will air on Showtime pay-per-view for $49.99. So, yep, they're going to make a lot of money. We will now take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter will be here to get deeper into these news items, including what's going on in Andrade's head and how does it factor in with AEW. That is all to come. Don't forget, later this hour, Chris Jericho and Dan Lavransky one-on-one. You don't want to miss it. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings on hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Horace Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcoming now to the show to take a deeper dive into the week of news, Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave, great to have you back. And geez, you know, last week you were supposed to be on to chat about the potential of Kenny Omega winning the Impact World Championship. He did, but if I just watched AEW, I'd have no idea. Did that surprise you?
It was mentioned in passing. It's weird because it's like when they started the thing off, it was like this belt collector gimmick, and they've completely dropped it. And, you know, as far as like pushing that hard on TV, and it is a cool gimmick, you know, and yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's a weird thing because it's not like Tony Khan wasn't at ringside for the match. But on their show, they acknowledge it, but boy, is it not pushed hard. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if it's because right now Kenny's wrapped up in other angles and this will come to fruition a little bit later as he keeps the title, or if it's just something reserved completely for the other show, if it's just for Impact.
I don't know because you would think that, you know, he would be coming out. I mean, he did acknowledge it, but you would think that he would come out with the four belts, yeah. Or at least the three, but really it's four. He should come out with the four belts. I mean, that should be part of his big thing right now. You know, maybe, you know, it could have something to do with how, whatever the plan is for him to lose it, and they don't want to be broadcasting it too much because they don't like the way that's, if there's something weird that's agreed to that they're not really down with so much, so maybe that's why they're downplaying it. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, no one's really given me a good answer as to why you start something that seemed to be like the story for the whole year, and then like in the middle of it, you just really, like, you don't ignore it, but you very much downplay it. Yeah.
I mean, better yet, even than him wearing the belts, if he had his cleaner women, the dancers, each wear a belt, boom, what an entrance it could be. Way back, like Carlos Newton did that years ago when he had the belt in UFC.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. That's a really great idea. They should steal it for sure.
Well, I'll pass it along, Dave, next time you talk to Tony. If I happen to do it, I'll do the same. Let's talk about Andrade. I mean, over and over again this week, there was an Andrade news segment that popped up here and there. And this one relates back to Kenny Omega. Just last night, you have Andrade challenging Kenny Omega in AAA. Is that a confirmed match now?
I'll put it this way. I was told about the match, pretty much the day after he was released by WWE. So I don't know that it's confirmed, but I know that it is certainly something that was an idea from day one, you know, for the main event for Triple Mania. So, I don't know the date of Triple Mania. They're going to have to work that out, you know, between Omega's schedule and his schedule.
Right.
And, you know, whatever the pandemic is. I know that they want to have it in front of fans this year. Mm. And so that's part of it as well. So, that's one of the reasons that they were able to get Andrade on the show, because it's, he really wants a match with Psycho Clown, and he wants a match with Kenny Omega, and he's probably going to get both in AAA.
Well, he seems to be someone that is doing exactly what he wants, and along with that, this week, his name popped up in the news with Federation Wrestling announcing their first pay-per-view on June 19th. This not only has Andrade on it, but along with that, AEW and ROH talent. Where's this promotion coming from?
Well, so it's concert promotion from in Mexico that worked with Rush. And so the ROH guys is because they're Roosh's buddies from ROH, and the AEW guys, as far as, you know, Pentagon and Phoenix are free agents in Mexico, and they're big, big stars there. So it's just, you know, that Dragon Lee and Bandido versus Pentagon and Phoenix match on paper is just unbelievable. I mean, it could be one of the best tag matches of the year. In fact, I would expect it to be one of the best tag matches of the year, considering it being on pay-per-view and knowing, you know, Phoenix doesn't do days off, really, not on big shows anyway, and Bandido, this is going to be a really big match, and Dragon Lee's one of those guys that doesn't want anyone to upstage him, and Pentagon, you know, so it's like the dynamic of this match it lends it to be something really special.
All right, well, that we can look forward to. That has a lot of great performers on it, and I think Andrade's made two excellent decisions and one extremely questionable decision, announcing he's facing Alberto El Patron June 31st in Texas. July 31st in Texas.
July 31st, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're booking a match with the man that's standing trial for kidnapping. Why would Andrade want to have his name anywhere around El Patron?
I don't know. You know, they've known each other for a long time, and wrestlers are loyal to people who they know.
Hmm.
But that's a real weird one. I mean, it's just booking Alberto right now, at least, I mean, even after the trial, it's going to be very tough in a lot of places because people will, you know, I mean, people, I think because of the evidence that's been out and known about, I think a lot of people won't accept a negative verdict, you know, a verdict and a not guilty verdict, even if there is one. But to wait, you know, you've got to at least wait until the trial's over. I mean, the guy, yeah, like you just said, he's standing trial this week for a really heinous crime. It's horrible. And so at least get that out of the way, you know, more than anything else. But yeah, but you know, like I said, they're buddies from way back, and you know, Andrade went to him for advice and things like that. So there is that there is that loyalty there.
All right. Let's talk Blood and Guts. It's, of course, coming up this week. It's the war game format, but we do have a spin on it. This, to me, though, Dave, is challenging in 2021. War games, that is, in the format with no finish being able to come up to 30 minutes into the match. Do you think this is going to work for this week's show?
Yes. Mm. I mean, look, they're going to try to replicate the old war games of the late 80s, and those were some of the best matches. Now, granted, you know, times have changed. That's over 30 years ago. But there is some nostalgia, and AEW's been wanting to do this match since day one. I mean, they built it up for a long, long time, and then because of the pandemic, decided not to do it. And then for whatever reason, you know, I mean, we're not that far from arenas. I mean, we're only a couple months away from, you know, touring and everything like that, but I guess for whatever the booking reasons are, you know, which hopefully we'll be able to figure out as soon as Wednesday's over, they felt that this was the week they needed to do it. You know, so I'm sure, you know, look at the guys that are in there, and the company's got a real good track record of delivering on these big matches. So I don't really have any worries that it's not going to work. But even in that format, I think people accept the War Games format. I mean, it's there won't be a finish, but I think that there'll be a lot of action and you know, like the, you know, it's got that Royal Rumble type thing where guys enter and it's going to be heel one man advantage the whole match. So, you know, you've got that kind of heat and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, it's people are, you know, the standards and expectations are really high. So they're going to have to work really hard to live up to them.
In your opinion, who is the proper team to win?
You know, it's a weird one because I don't know where they're going. I mean, on paper, the War Games is a babyface win match,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's the blow-off. And so on paper, you would go Sean Spears loses. That's on paper. But if you're going to do this to build to something else that's bigger or different, you know, you've got to work a finish to build to where that direction is. So I don't know what the direction is. You know, and I mean, a lot of people will go like, oh, the Pinnacle shouldn't lose. It's too early. But the Horsemen lost every single War Games, and they were never dead from losing. So, you know, the idea that, you know, you're dead because you lose. You're dead if you lose and then you can't promo coming back. But I'm pretty confident in MJF, and I'm pretty confident in FTR as far as the ability to be just fine losing.
Yeah,
especially if the match is great, you really aren't hurt much by losing. If the match sucks and you lose, yeah, you can be hurt.
And Jericho has said this is, he will say later in this show, this is the start of what these guys are doing together.
Right,
so,
right. So the finish depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if they're going to something where you need to get heat on the babyface team, then yes, the babyface team should lose. Generally speaking, the War Games is more of an end than a beginning, but this time it's a beginning, not an end, so it's completely different.
Daniel Bryan, let's flip over to WWE. They built SmackDown like a pay-per-view with all the opinions of the other talent talking about the match. Really nice build, really great match. Daniel Bryan loses, banished from SmackDown, I guess kind of like Sonya Deville was a few months ago. What do you expect here?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, the one thing that came out is that nobody bought the stip.
Mm.
And it's like, when people don't believe in stips, you know, it's a really sad thing, and WWE has done that. But, I mean, as far as, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's raw NXT, right? There's probably no other option unless he comes back with a mask, which would probably be the worst of all. You know, but they might do that, too, because that's been done before.
Well, what do you think about Daniel Bryan as well? You know, his contract is up in September, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
He has been very outspoken, even though he's under WWE contract, of things that he still does want to accomplish in his career. You know, you do have the fact that his wife is looking to make a comeback, so that might change his mind. But to me, he seems like the type of guy where he doesn't care all that much about the money involved. He just wants to make some check marks on his bucket list here and is running out of time. Do you think he resigns?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know, but I think he resigns. But, you know, I mean, obviously what he's looking for, he's looking to resign with the ability to do selected dates in probably Japan and Mexico, maybe, you know, and then not work AEW, because obviously if he resigns, the one place he's not going to work is AEW.
Sure.
I think so, but I think he has that feel of wanting to go back, and there's so many unique matchups and matches with guys that he either never worked with in Japan when he was younger, or he did, but like with like a Tanahashi, where, you know, they've worked together and they had a great match together, but they're completely different people. They were both early in their careers as opposed to this stage of their career. So, and I don't know, WWE has never given anyone that leeway, so it's going to be a real interesting thing. And I'm sure the other thing is he's going to want in his contract limited dates, because the thing is like his first priority. In this next contract is his family, and when I say family, it's not everyone's priority is the family, but he wants to be home. He doesn't want, like, when they go back on the road for a full schedule, he doesn't want it in his contract, you know, that they can book him 100 dates a year.
Right.
I'm pretty sure of that. So it's going to be an interesting negotiation, and you know, the one leverage that he has that so many other guys don't have is he can make money on the outside, and also it's like, to him, it's about having fun, and it's really not the money, where everybody else is so consumed with the money that they're going to do at the end of the day, and WWE knows this, they're going to do what they want, and WWE actually will get them for less money because they're afraid of leaving WWE. And he's not, I'm sure that he has, you know, I mean, I think if his wife wasn't there, I actually think he would have left.
Yeah.
But she is there, and that's why I think he probably won't leave, but I don't know. You know, it's like, There's probably a lot of different things that he's going to ask for, and we're going to see if he can get them. You know, and he's got leverage in the sense that he can do what he wants, and he's not under any immediate economic pressures. And it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to leave WWE, and then I'm not going to be able to afford my house. It's like, you know, he can make money anywhere.
Yeah, and it did draw. All right, Dave. Before we go, highlights from the Observer this week.
This last week we had a lot of analysis on the TV, and then, you know, a lot of stuff on historical fights. I mean, historical pro wrestling matches, unification matches, the Kenny Omega and Big Van Vader, the two guys who held three different world titles at the same time, kind of talk about that. And then, all the stuff coming out of, WrestleMania and everything. So it's, this week coming up, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have, we'll see what happens this week. There hasn't been, you know, other than the stuff in Mexico, which has already happened, and most of the news is going to come out next couple days.
Yeah, between WWE and then the big Blood and Guts show. So look forward to that, and look forward to chatting with you next week at this same time. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. All right, Dave Meltzer, of course. Get him every week here on Sunday Night's Main Event. But along with that, if you want more, WrestlingObserver.com is where all of his fine work exists. So check it on out. The guys are great. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a little bit of turnbuckle trivia, Jericho trivia for you, and then Jericho himself. That is what is to come on this edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lowransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks, tough guy.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. And listen, today we have two savvy veterans of Turnbuckle Trivia to play the game. He was the ultimate babyface in the Turnbuckle Trivia tournament. He is back to play again. Brad the Dad, how you doing out on the East Coast?
We're doing all right. We're in a little bit of a lockdown right now, but I put on my lucky Daniel Bryan shirt, so hopefully it'll bring me some good luck today.
Yeah, you might as well wear the shirt. That might be the only place you're going to see him for a little while. You are playing against Andre from a very troubled Alberta at this point, as far as COVID goes. Andre, how are you?
I'm doing okay in where I'm living right now, so...
Everybody's staying inside, but that works out for watching wrestling and playing this game. Guys, as you both well know, tonight's edition of the show has Dan Lavransky reuniting with Chris Jericho. So with that in mind, we're going to do some Chris Jericho trivia. This, though, specific to the generally recent Chris Jericho years. So let's see what you remember and hope that it is not all a blur. Brad, you'll be player one. Andre, you'll be player two. And here we go, back and forth, five questions each. The winner, of course, gets a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. And Brad, first question for you. Jericho's final WWE WrestleMania appearance came at WrestleMania 33. Who was his opponent?
Fandango?
It was not. It was actually Kevin Owens that was his opponent. Andre, first question for you. Owens and Jericho were feuding over which title?
The United States title?
It was the United States title. Very good. All right, 1-0. Brad, back to you. We're going to start at All In for this question. Jericho would appear on the All In card, Brad. Who was he disguised as?
He was disguised as Penta.
Yes, he was disguised as Penta. Very good. Now, Andre, AEW's first pay-per-view event was Double or Nothing. It took place on May 25th. 2019. Jericho was in the main event versus whom?
Kenny Omega?
That's correct. Kenny Omega. Now, Brad, let's follow that up. This one, Jericho, he beat Kenny Omega, and this one, Jericho, the right to compete for the inaugural AEW Championship at the next pay-per-view entitled All Out. Who did he defeat for that title?
Hangman, Adam Page.
You got it. All right, Andre, back to you. Dynamite debuted on October 2nd, 2019. Jericho would first defend his title on October 16th versus whom?
Darby Allin?
That is correct. Very
Holy
good.
Crap.
That's a hard
one. That was
one.
A pure guess. That was a pure guess,
It
man.
Was Darby Allin. Great job. All right, Brad, back to you. Jericho's first pay-per-view title defense came at Full Gear on November 9th. Who did he face?
Cody Rhodes.
That's correct. He did face Cody Rhodes. All right, Andre, this is a fun one. Jericho would then go on to work a program with Orange Cassidy. This would come to a conclusion at All Out 2020. With what type of match? You must get the actual title of the match.
Oh, geez. Orange juice puddle match. I don't know.
It was not the orange juice puddle match. Brad, I can actually see you had your hand up. You wouldn't have been able to steal that. What was it?
Mimosa Mayhem.
It was Mimosa Mayhem. That is correct. Where, of course, the champagne met the orange juice. So with that in mind, it's 3-3 right now. And Brad, we go to you for this next question. Your final question. On this past week's Dynamite, in preparation for Blood and Guts, Jericho cut a killer promo. What classic video game did he reference?
Oh, he referenced... I'm going to say Street Fighter, but I'm totally wrong.
It wasn't Street Fighter. He referenced Tetris. He was talking about Tetris, where MJF managed to slide his way in. Andre, that opens the door for you for the win here. In that same promo, Jericho said Blood and Guts will kick off the summer of 2020, but previous to that, compared it to which summer?
I can't remember.
Brad wants to steal, but you can't. But Brad, what would it have been?
Summer of Love.
Summer of Love, Summer of 69. That would have been the correct answer. So with that in mind, you each got three, and we must do a tiebreaker. Now, for the tiebreaker, we're going to play closest to without going over because I'm not going to isolate the two of you. This one, I flip it around. Andre, you'll go first. Brad, you will go second here. The question is, what is the combined age of all of the members of the Inner Circle? The combined age of all of the members of the Inner Circle. Andre, you're going to go first. Closest to without going over, unless you both go over, of course.
I'm going to go with 170.
170. And Brad...
I'm going to go 171.
171. Well, my goodness, you guys are quite good at math. You are only off by 5. The correct answer is 175. And that means congratulations, Andre. No, Brad. Brad. Sorry, Brad. Yes, you got the win. You went 171. And that gets you a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Congratulations, Brad the Dad. You won.
Hey, can I ask Andre a quick question?
I guess. Yeah, you're both on
What's
the
up?
Line.
Andre, have you got a shirt before from Baller Gear?
I got I won the first time for Baller Gear. I think I won the second week he had it.
All right. Then I'm going to take the shirt. If you didn't have one, I would give you one, but I'll keep it if you've already got one. I got
You're
one too. So
too nice, Brad. You're too nice. All right. Both of you are nice people, and thank you for playing the game. We got to get some new shirts up at ballergear.ca, but Brad, we will be sending one of those. I believe it can make it through the COVID barriers, and we will get it to you out in Nova Scotia. Thanks for playing, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
All right, and that does it. We have made it to the final segment of the show, a break, and then back with Dan Lavransky and Chris Jericho. That interview is next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins-Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fuel in the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
We chat wrestling on the radio every Sunday night, but if that's not enough for you, we put out content pretty much every day on our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio is your source for sports entertainment. Entertainment. We're a nice compliment to what you watch on TV. It's only $1 a week and you get content each and every day at patreon.com/SNMEradio. As I like to say, don't you dare miss it. Was it the greatest debut in wrestling history? Personally, I think so. But it's hard to believe the first time we heard this song and saw Chris Jericho on WWF television was on August 9th, 1999. Nearly 23 years ago. And even harder to believe, myself and Dan the Mouth Oransky were already working together on a weekly basis, putting a pro wrestling radio show on called The Law Live Audio Wrestling, the predecessor, of course, to Sunday night's main event. And I know many of you listening right now stayed up with us late on Sunday nights and went to work, or more likely school, very tired on Monday mornings. That was before the days of podcasting, friends. You know, we actually put audio online before the word podcast was even invented. Think about that. But anyhow, I'm going to try to stop making you and me feel old right now and instead say that over those past 23 years, we've had Chris Jericho on the program numerous times. And each and every time, no matter if the co-host was myself or John Pollock or even going way back to Jeff Merrick, Dan Lavransky has always been the shining star in the interviews with Chris Jericho, as these two guys have one hell of a rock and roll bond. So with that in mind, with Blood and Guts coming up this Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, I went out of my way to request that we get Chris Jericho on the program. And AEW's media relations department said yes. So I messaged Lavransky and I said, Mouth, you're up. There was no way that I was going to get in between these two guys. And I think I made a very good decision. This was an awesome chat and covers everything from Blood and Guts to Jericho's work with MJF and Orange Cassidy to New Japan involvement in AEW. And yeah, even talking about why NXT always seemed to lead in the 50-plus demographic, which is extra relevant since we've got a couple of guys in that demographic doing this interview. Keep in mind, if you're listening on the radio right now or via the free podcast, you're getting a sample of this interview. The whole thing, the whole 25-minute interview is available on our Patreon in both audio and in video form. So get that right now by signing up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, here is Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Chris Jericho. And yes, they start things off by talking about the last time they chatted when Jericho put Mouth on the list.
You know, it's been a while since I talked to you. The last time I talked to you, I think you freaked out at the end and you put me on the list and that was it. I haven't haven't heard hide nor hair ever since, but
I was probably drunk.
Well, the funniest thing was it was when you were in town for a Raw or something, and the funniest thing was it got the sheets got thrown around at ringside and a fan took a picture and someone got a picture around where you'd actually written my name. It was hilarious.
I think I remember that. Yeah, that's funny, man. That was probably 2016 then, so it's been a minute.
I was gonna ask you, in the record book, are you gonna put the list?
I don't think so, because I think the list kind of just morphed into whatever I was doing that night. But I think it's in there as like one of my best gimmicks or something. I made a top 10 list of like best gimmicks and best inanimate objects that I got over, and a lot of those types of lists in there.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, let's obviously talk some AEW. That is why you were here. Congratulations. You know, it's been just over a year or so. The television, in my opinion, has been outstanding. I just think you guys are doing such a great job at presenting something different. And I love your combination of taking older ideas that have worked for decades and haven't been seen in decades, and then mixing it kind of with a new current vibe of stuff that's kind of manifested on the indie scene. And you've kind of created this really cool hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that we kind of made our mission statement when we first started, was to do something different, because you don't need WWE light. And we didn't have that in us anyways. We had a lot of creativity, a lot of passion, and an interest in doing something that really hadn't happened in a while, and kind of combining all those things, like you said, to create something brand new. It's funny because wrestling, you know, it's not rocket science in the stories that you're telling. And you can always go back to the past to pull ideas out, just like great movies will do that, or great rock and roll bands will do that. You can see similarities in things that happened in the past. And we do utilize those ideas, because I always feel that there's a turnover of wrestling fans every 15, 20 years or so. So you can do angles that haven't been seen since the 80s or 90s or even the early Attitude Era, because a lot of people have never seen them before. And as long as you put your own twist on it, the people that have seen it will go, oh, that's pretty cool kind of homage too. And the people that haven't seen it will go, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And that's really the secret to putting on a weekly television show, is always providing something new and unique, and something original, even if you put a little bit of a twist on something that you've seen or done before.
So at the core of AEW, we have Tony Khan, of course, and Cody, the Bucks, Kenny Omega, the kind of the executive vice presidents. Where do you fit in with the group, Chris? Like, how much do you have a big say on the overall product? Are you just more sculpting your own stuff? Like, what's your kind of position in all this?
I think I literally have a position, a senior advisor to the CEO. I'm not kidding. I think that I actually do have a, because when they were when they were talking about EVPs and all that sort of thing, I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with it, because these guys were doing a lot of work at the beginning, you know, finding sponsors, going to Cracker Barrel, helping to book towns, doing all this stuff. I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But when you're talking about the creative side of things, I mean, obviously I worry about what Chris Jericho's storyline is first and foremost. And then I do, I don't know if I have a lot of say as far as, like, obviously Tony's the boss. And that's one thing that's really grown over the last year, is that people understand, and I knew it from the start, but I think a lot of the guys thought, like, oh, we're a big committee and a big team. And it's like, no, there needs to be one boss, and that's Tony Khan. And then you go kind of file down from there. So I have some say when I'm asked my opinions. But I also don't know everything that's going on the show, nor do I want to, because I, you know, worrying about 30 or 40 different storylines is quite a lot of pressure. Tony loves that. He's a stats guy. He's a numbers guy. He can remember all of that stuff. And I think he really enjoys that. And so if he's looking at a certain section of all of this and asks my advice or opinion, or tells me things that he's doing, I'll give my feedback. But it's just, I would say, like you said, an advisor is a great way to kind of explain what I do for AEW, and not just for Tony Khan, but for a lot of the guys. You know, I have a lineup. I mentioned on Broken Skull Sessions, I have a lineup at my door sometimes of people wanting to talk to me, whether it's the production guys or whether it's the talent, everybody in between, to hear my advice or get my thoughts or opinions. And I appreciate that and look forward to it.
Now let's talk about the big blood and guts match that's going down on Dynamite next week. I mean, this is an event that you guys talked about, geez, like almost a year ago or so, I think.
Over
a year ago, and it got postponed because of the pandemic and stuff like that. But so was it something you guys always wanted to bring back, or you just felt, okay, this particular angle with these two groups is the perfect place to bring this out?
Combination of both of those, Dan, and you just nailed it on the head. We did announce Blood and Guts for March 25th of last year. We had 15,000 tickets sold at the Prudential Center. We were like, if we could just get to there. We didn't make it. We missed it by 2 weeks. But that angle between the elite and the inner circle had built so well that Blood and Guts was a great way to blow it off. Once we couldn't do the match, it was still kind of in the pipeline. Then we didn't want to do it in front of no crowd. And then we came up with Stadium Stampede and things went in a different direction. So we always had Blood and Guts in our back pocket, but you don't want to just throw it out there and do it because it's a match. I find sometimes matches get used just to do it. And we didn't want that, especially considering it's the first one. Yes, it's War Games influence, but it's still our version of it. It's called Blood and Guts. It's different. Once the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle angle started heating up, we realized that this is the perfect place to bring it back. Rather than doing it at the end of the angle, let's do it almost to kick off the angle, which a lot of naysayers are like, why would you put a Blood and Guts on after only 3 weeks? It should be at the end of 3 months. Well, it's like, I disagree, because the story really kicked off and we've done a great job over the last 3-4 weeks of building the intensity of this story and this feud. It needs almost to start off in Blood and Guts because the angle warrants it. And that's always the best place to put a gimmick match, so to speak, is when the angle and the story warrants it, not just because you have a pay-per-view next month called Blood and Guts. You got to shoehorn that match in there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. That's a great point. Now we have the two factions, obviously, at Blood and Guts here. But one of the trademarks of AEW seems to be the faction. We have the Nightmare Family. We have the Factory. We have Team Taz. You know, we have a lot of different groups. Again, was this a conscious decision or is this just kind of the way it's played out?
Once again, it's not something I've been privy to, but what I think is that Tony Khan likes factions. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you work in New Japan, everyone's with a faction. Whenever right. I go there, I feel lonely because it'll say so-and-so is part of this faction. And then it'll say Chris Jericho solo. Like I got no friends. I think he likes having the factions. And here's the real reason why, my opinion, you'd have to ask him, is I think he likes having people involved. And everybody on our show has a purpose and a point. And I would never suggest that someone doesn't get TV time. So when you put together, for example, the Factory with QT, and then now we've got Anthony Ogogo gets TV time. And, you know, I can't even remember. Is that the faction with JD Drake and Ryan Nemeth or whoever, whichever faction is? Well, no, that's with Nick Comoroto. Yeah. My point is that they're getting TV time and they're on the show, which they wouldn't be if they weren't involved in this faction. I know one of the things people were saying was there was 75 people on Dynamite last night, and that might be true, but look at what we're doing on that Dynamite where there were 75 people. For example, the main event was Jungle Boy versus Darby, and the crossover was Sheeta versus Ty. We are building our own stars. And if you have to see 75 people on the show, just go with it, because out of those 75, hopefully over the next 3-4 years, we will build them all into stars. Some will be opening match level. Some will be main event pay-per-view headliners. But that's how you get started in giving these guys experience and getting them face time on TV where people know who the hell they are. And that's very important when you're trying to build your company from scratch, which is what we've done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think with guys like Jungle Boy and Darby Allin, you guys have done a really fantastic job at making those guys look strong and having strong matches. I want to talk about Orange Cassidy and what you did with him, because that works into this whole thing here. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that you weren't really a big fan of his gimmick when you first saw it.
I wasn't. I hated it. Like, I didn't get it. Where I started getting it is pre-pandemic, the reactions he was getting from the crowd. And I was like, listen, you know, old man Jericho, take your head out of your ass and realize that times change and things evolve. And it doesn't really matter if you, me, understand this character. The people love him. And that's what you're always looking for, especially as a heel, a baby face that's legitimately over. Do you know how easy it is when you find that? And that's what I was like, I started getting into the concept. Okay, well, why do people like Orange Cassidy so much? Let me look into this and think about it and analyze it. And I realized he's doing something that's never been done before and created this whole new character and this whole new kind of universe around him that people went nuts because of it. And I thought, that is really smart. This is not a stupid gimmick. This is actually a genius gimmick. especially finding out why he did that, and that he was kind of a low level high flyer and thought, well, I'll never be as good of a high flyer as Rey Fénix. So what can I do? I'll go the opposite direction and be the most lazy wrestler. And then you realize, like, this is really, really good. So once I kind of understood it in my mind, that's when I was like, we got to do some business together. And we did. We did a great 14 weeks last summer in front of no people, which, you know, once again, I wish we could have had a huge crowd and people going nuts for him. But you can't hold off everything forever. And we had to keep the lights on. And I think we did a great job in doing that and building Orange Cassidy once again into a star.
Yeah, and I think you guys to me as well seem to have done the best job at kind of capturing at least a part of what it's like to have a crowd watching the matches. But so much of the show, I've sat there over the last year went, God, if this had been in a full arena packed with people, imagine what this would have been like.
And listen, there's always that, but then there's also, like I said, the other side of the coin, like, what are we supposed to do? Hold off everything? We might not even have a show if we would have done that. So I remember I was going to do a program with Jungle Boy back in April or May of last year after the Elite thing was done. And then I thought, well, I'll just push it off until we get crowds back because I want him in front of a crowd. Little did we know that, you know, a year later, we're just now starting to build our crowds up to back in the thousands again and then probably getting ready to go on the road very soon. But, you know, we couldn't hold off everything. And yes, I would have loved to have done some of the stuff in front of crowds, but we didn't have that choice. So we had to make the best of it. And I think we did. And that shows in the ratings that we've done and the demos that we've done and just the interest in AEW, which I think now is coming up to that point pre-pandemic where we're almost the hottest wrestling company in the world again, because of the angles and stories we've been telling.
One thing I find interesting as someone who is well past 50, the far side of 50, hearing this stuff with the ratings with AEW and having trouble with that demo, because I just don't understand it, Chris. What you guys do to someone my age who's been watching for so long, I love it. You bring back all those great old concepts that I miss. I don't quite understand why it doesn't click with that demo. Well, the way NXT does or something.
I think I know the answer to that. And I think that demo's gone up over the past few weeks now that there is no NXT on a Wednesday night. But I mean, for example, you're wearing a Motorhead shirt. What's the last new band that Dan Lavransky in his, you know, mid to late 50s latched onto? Is there some?
The OCs is probably the most
recent one. So, but you have a little bit more of an open mind. For most guys, when you get in your 40s and 50s, it's hard to get into a new band. If the Scott Ian says, I haven't listened to a new band in 25 years. I'm on the other side because I'm still in the business and I love the Struts and I love Greta Van Fleet and I love Hailstorm, et cetera, et cetera. But most people, when they get older, don't want to try new things. And I think the reason why AEW is having problems with people in their 50s is that wrestling to them is WWE. If it's not WWE, I don't want to give it a try. I don't care about Ring of Honor. I don't care about New Japan. I don't care about AEW. And I think that's one of the reasons why that demo was a little bit lower than NXT, just because of habit. If I'm going to watch wrestling, I watch the WWE one, not anything else. Meanwhile, everybody else is like, AEW is the best wrestling company in the world. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. So I think our demo in the 50 and over will grow a little bit more now that there's no WWE product and people finally will, okay, I'll give it a chance. And then they'll be saying the same thing that you're saying. Holy shit, this is great stuff. I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, it's funny. Myself and another guy here that's also 50, we do a podcast where we review Dynamite each week. And instead of the Young Bucks, we call ourselves the old
I can vouch for that.
That is all the time we have for this edition of The Radio Show. Remember, that entire interview with Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Chris Jericho is 25 minutes long, and it is available on our Patreon, so you should go and sign up. It's only $1 a week, and we give you shows each and every day. And yep, uncut, unedited Mouth and Jericho is there for you in audio and video form right now at patreon.com/snmeradio. Gotta say goodbye for this week on the show. However, I will say and tease you, next week we are supposed to have a guest that may even be bigger than Chris Jericho on the show. All I'm gonna say is it's supposed to be a WWE talent. I'm supposed to be doing the interview on Tuesday, So with that in mind, follow along to our Twitter at SNME Radio. Join our Facebook group. Just search SNME Radio on Facebook. Join the group and keep informed. A huge guest next week. I will be letting you all know about it on Tuesday when it happens. And we'll put out clips. We'll do an audio version, a video version. It is all to come. So stick with us, friends. Anyhow, we got to wrap things up for this week. I'm already excited about next week and hope you are as well. Hope to be filling your ears with all the wrestling news of the week right here on Sunday night's main event. So as Billy Red Lions always used to say, don't you dare miss it. That does it for this week's free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. I thank you all for listening. Do keep in mind, there is a version of this show that is commercial-free and extended and is posted on Sunday afternoons. And it's available at patreon.com/SNME Radio. It's only a buck a week. You get this show, as I mentioned, commercial-free and extended. You also get the midweek markout that I do with Mark Andrada. You get All Elite Weekly with Dan Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo. And you get all of the episodes of our new Patron Pod contest as well. So we've talked about all those things on the show. Now become a part of those things by signing up for $1 a week at patreon.com/SNME Radio.